I will be preaching this morning is verses 41 to 43, but I'll be reading again verses 31 to 47, as I have done for the last three or four times. And I trust that as we read this, that the Lord will use this. This will be ingrained in our hearts and in our minds, what is taking place here. John 8:31. Would you please stand as I read and as you follow? Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place or no room in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." May the Lord give us understanding of his word. This very important passage. Let's go to him in prayer. Lord, everything we realize in the scriptures is recorded for us. It is your word. May we not be as these Jews who cannot hear it, who will not believe it. Father, I pray that we would be students of your word, but not just students, but that we would also walk closely with you. I pray that our lives would be a testimony to the work of Jesus Christ in our hearts. Thank you that we have it, that Jesus Christ is the Word, become flesh, that God is with us. And Lord, as we now look into this passage, I pray that you would open our hearts, that we might understand the scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our focus is on verses 41 to 43. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about DNA. DNA, if I can pronounce this correctly, is deoxyribonucleic acid. Somebody can simply give you a test to determine your ancestry and whether or not somebody is truly related to you. DNA is also used to solve crimes. People can boast about their heritage, but a simple test can disprove them. People can say, "I did not have anything to do with that crime," but a simple test can make them a criminal. Imagine that a billionaire dies. No known relatives, no known kin. I walk in with hundreds of others claiming inheritance. The executors will just give me the money, right? Is that a hard question? The executor's just going to give me the money because I walked in and claimed it. Absolutely not. Folks, let me make a point here. People claim that God is their Father and we just believe them, right? How many times as we go through the book of John, we see this? That the most gullible people today in the world are Christians. Because all somebody has to say is that I'm a Christian. I get part of the inheritance. Don't you wish there was some kind of a DNA test you could do on them? Not a physical DNA, but a spiritual DNA to determine whether or not they are really Christians? But we gullible Christians today simply believe them. Why? Because they simply claim it. And yet you would never do that. The world is smart enough that they would never allow that to happen if somebody were to try to inherit $1 billion. Part of the problem with Christianity today is we've got professing believers. And true believers are gullible to say, well, you said it, so I'm just going to accept it. Your life doesn't back it up, nothing else backs it up, but you said it, so hey, who am I to judge? How about if we give people a DNA test? I tried to come up with some kind of an acronym for DNA. I can't come up with one. Maybe divinely newborn agent. How do you know if somebody is indeed a divinely newborn agent of God? Jesus gives us at least four tests in this passage. By the way, it's possible to deceive yourself. It's possible for you to honestly believe that God is your Father and deceive yourself spiritually. These people were deceived. Four simple tests to identify your spiritual father. Number one, seriously consider your Lord. We saw that in verses 33 to 36. Your spiritual father is not God the Father if your Lord is sin. Because if your Lord is sin, it makes you a slave to sin. And Jesus very plainly and clearly says in verse 34, whosoever is practicing sin is the servant of sin. So number one, seriously consider who your Lord is. Number two, seriously consider your labor. Verses 37 to 41. Other people can identify your Father by your works. Your Father is not God the Father if your labors are opposed to His or are not like His. Jesus makes this very plain to these Jews. Verse 39, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. You would be laboring as Abraham did. But he is making a point very clearly. You are not the children of Abraham. You may be so physically. And you may take some kind of a physical DNA test and we can determine, you know what, you are a descendant of Abraham. But I ask you to take a spiritual DNA test and find out if you're truly a child of Abraham. As Paul says in Romans chapter 4 and Romans chapter 9, that those who are truly the children of Abraham are those who have believed in Jesus Christ and are trusting Him by faith as Abraham did. So you can know who your spiritual father is by seriously considering who your Lord is, by seriously considering your labors, and then thirdly this morning, by seriously considering your love. Seriously considering your love. Here's one of those sayings that I used to see above the chalkboards as a student of Bob Jones, by Dr. Bob Jones Sr. What you love and what you hate determines what you are. What you love and what you hate determines who and what you are. I can know a lot about a person, and you can know a lot about a person by finding out what they really love and what they hate. You say, well, I don't hate anything. Oh, yes, you do. You cannot love without hating, and you cannot hate without loving. Jesus disproves that their spiritual father is Abraham. So they respond with what everybody thinks no one can dogmatically refute. They say, well, we're not illegitimate children. That's what they say in verse 41. We're not born of fornication. We're not illegitimate children. And then they come up with this line that everybody says today is proof positive. We have one Father, even God. Well, we're all God's children. Correct? Jesus will prove here that God is not their Father. And by the way, if Abraham is not their Father and God is not their Father, who does that leave? Exactly what you're going to see in verse 44. You are your father, the devil. So you claim God your father as your father this morning? That'll be tested by your relationship, number one, to his son. Jesus says in verse 42, if God were your father, ye would love me. Notice how he keeps disproving them. He said in verse 39, if you were Abraham's children, here's what you would do. And if God were your father, here's what would be characteristic of you. I know you're not Abraham's children because you do not do the works of Abraham. And now, here's the proof positive that he gives as to the fact that they are not God's children. If God were your father, what? You would love me. Here's the test. You would love me. Their failure to love Jesus Christ was direct evidence that God was not their Father. Their ill will toward Him annihilates their claim of God as their Father. Now, why should they love Jesus if God is their Father? He gives the reason there in verse 42. Because, that word for can be translated because, literally, out of God I came and am here. Because out of God I came and am here. He goes on to say, neither came I of myself. I am on a mission from God. And then he says, He sent me. Now I can understand how someone could accept a father, but reject a son who is not like the father. It is possible to accept somebody, the father, and have some kids who are nothing like their father. And say, you know, the kids, you know, they're totally different. And all of us, by the way, all of our children are different than our fathers in some way, because we're sinful. And kids will look at their father and say, well, that's one thing I'm not going to copy. And then they go on and do their own thing. They have their own sin that their kids are going to say, I'm not going to be like my father. I don't like this in my father. Go back in your minds. I'll read it to you, but think about when the children of Israel wanted a king. Remember this? Samuel was the judge, and a very good one at that. But when Samuel was getting old, the elders of the children of Israel came to Samuel and said, you know what? You're getting old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Your kids aren't like you, Samuel. They're not the spiritual giants that you are. So I can understand how we can accept a father and reject the sons, because the sons are nothing like the father. Think of the kings who followed King David. How many times does the Bible say in 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles that such and such a king did not walk in the ways of David, his father? It was totally frustrating because they were unlike their father. Think of Solomon's frustration in Ecclesiastes 2, verses 18 and 19. He says, yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. In other words, I'm going to leave it to my son. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet, he's going to have rule over all my labor, wherein I have labored and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. What a frustration. That you may like the Father. There may be characteristics and virtues in the Father that you say, this is good. And then a son comes along and you say, what happened? But now imagine with me that there is a father and a son alike in every way. So much so that you cannot tell them apart. It's not just that they have the same voice. I used to answer the phone when I was a teenager. And my voice sounded just like my father's. And they would say, Del? I'd say, no, this is Dan. You've got to be kidding. How old are you? Because my voice was just alike, just like his. But there, in so many other ways, I was different. I'm more like, in physique, I'm more like my great-grandfather. But in so many ways, I'm different. But imagine being so much alike that you could tell nothing apart. If that were the case, folks, it would be impossible to love the Father and not the Son, because they're alike in every way. Do we not see here again the deity of Jesus Christ? He is so alike the Father in every way that you would think He was one and the same person. Because He is. Somebody said that love to Christ is the infallible mark of all true children of God. You cannot love God the Father and not love Jesus Christ. Our Lord's words here, by the way, disprove the universal fatherhood of God, that God is the Father of everybody. It also disproves the universal brotherhood of man, that every man is my brother. Now, you may be my American brother, but that's simply because we both live in America. God is not the father of those who do not love Jesus Christ. Go with me to 2 John. Again, the Apostle John writing this. The second epistle of John, verses 7 through 11. Here is the emphasis that the Apostle John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, places upon the doctrine of Jesus Christ. 2 John 7. He says here, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. What is the doctrine of Christ? The very things we're looking at here in the book of John. The doctrine that He is God. Whosoever abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, what? Don't even allow him to come into your house. And don't bid him Godspeed. You watch out who you say God bless you to. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. This is such a major point that John writes what he does there in 2 John 7 through 11. These Jews do not love God's Son. In fact, they hate Him. And thus, neither do they love, secondly, His Word. Their love is not for Jesus Christ, and their love is not for His Word. Verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Now notice, Jesus uses two words that have to do with something that is spoken or something that is understood. He uses the word speech, and then He says word. Why do they not understand Jesus' speech? Why were they not understanding what He was communicating? Is it because Jesus was a poor communicator? Why is it you may not understand someone's speech? What they are saying, what they are communicating. Well, it may be that they're making contradictory statements, and you say, now you said this, and then you said this. I don't understand. That's a politician. Or somebody may speak a foreign language, and you say, I don't speak that language. I don't understand what you're trying to communicate to me. Or somebody may have such a strong accent, they may speak the English language, but their accent is so heavy, you cannot understand their speech. Or somebody has poor diction. And what are their words? Or they're nasal. I'm not making fun of them. I'm just thinking back to voice and diction that I had, a speech class. Every day, I had to go back to my room by the instruction of our speech instructor. And I had to say really stupid things. And I wanted my roommates to be gone. But they were in the room, so I had to do it in front of them. La, 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 da, da, you know, and I would, it would sound like a little baby going through my little exercises, my voice and diction drills. I'd have to do things like a tutor who tooted the flute. Try to tutor two tutors to toot, said the two to the tutor. Is it easier to toot or to tutor two tutors to toot? So I'd get my T's right. Voice and diction. So sometimes you may not understand somebody because of their diction. I have a bad habit. I tend to speak fast. Sometimes I check myself and say, no, I'm speaking too quickly. I have to slow down. So sometimes I may compensate or overcompensate and start speaking very slowly to make sure I am understood. Or it may be that somebody has a speech impediment that you can't understand them. Somebody may speak too softly. What did you say? Do you think it's that Jesus has poor communication skills here? Is that why they do not understand His speech? Do you think He's speaking too softly? No. The problem is not the speaker. The problem is the hearer. And it's not that they were hard of hearing with their ears. They were hard of hearing with their hearts. It's not that they could not hear what He was saying. It's not that their eardrums were not vibrating. They heard every word He spoke. So much so that how many times are they trying to kill Him because of what He is saying? It is not because He is a poor communicator. It's that they are distracted in their hearts. And as we saw in the last part of verse 37, they have no room for His Word. How many times have you said something to your child? And you know he heard you because you're standing right there in front of him or her. And then they go on and do something and you say, I'll say it softly. Didn't you hear me? What are you saying? It's not that they didn't hear with their ears. It's that they didn't hear with their hearts. Because they did not want to do what you were saying. That's what Jesus is saying here. Why don't you understand my speech? Because ye cannot hear my word. And Jesus says the same to everybody today. Why is it that people today do not understand His speech? Because they cannot hear His word. A commentator said this, they cannot hear the still small voice of God while their ears are filled with the siren songs of the world, distracted. I like to have people's attention when I'm speaking. I don't like speaking to a wall. And neither do you. But very often, I can speak to somebody and they'll be distracted. You can tell they're not hearing me. You can tell people are not hearing you. They cannot hear. That means they cannot receive and believe. Let me illustrate this. What's in the next chapter in John about? It's about the blind man that Jesus heals. He heals the blind man, and then he goes, and the blind man's all by himself facing these Jews, these Pharisees. Look at verse 27 of chapter 9. Just right across the page in my Bible, maybe you have to turn one page. John 9:27. Here's what this blind man answered them. I have told you all. Well, let's go back to verse 26. Then said they to him, what's the next word? Again. What did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not. Oh, this is funny. Here's this blind man who has no theological training, and he is disputing these Pharisees, and he said, I told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Now you go back in this chapter, and look at verse 10 of John chapter 9. He's just been healed. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? Go again to verse 15. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Now you get to verses 26 and 27, and this blind man saying, can't you hear what I'm saying? Now it's not that they can't hear him. What's their problem? They don't like what he is saying. They don't like the fact that he is saying that this man healed me. Well, that's impossible. How can anybody heal somebody? They don't like to hear what he has to say. So there, Jesus is saying in John 8 and verse 43, ye cannot hear my word. In other words, you are unable, literally, you are powerless to hear my word. Is it possible for someone to get to the place where they are powerless to hear with their hearts? Where they hear with their ears? Yes. His word is truth. Go back to verse 40. I am a man that hath told you the what? Truth. Look at verses 45 and 46. And because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Look at verse 47. He is that of God heareth God's words, ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Verse 46. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? The reason they're not hearing him is because Jesus is speaking the truth. Relativism, postmodernism, what we are facing today is nothing new. It's not the first time people have outright rejected the truth and said there are no absolutes. Truth is staring these people in the face, and they are rejecting it. They are inwardly an enemy of the truth that Jesus is speaking. Thus, verse 44, you don't accept the truth. Why? Because you don't have the same Father. Your Father is whom? He's the devil. Are people unable to hear the truth today? Oh, they hear with their ears, but not with their heart. They don't like the truth. In fact, they hate it. Jesus' haters today claim no absolutes. There is no truth. What's true to you may not be true to me. They are unable to hear the truth because they hate it. In fact, they fear it. That's the true meaning of phobia. It's not hate, it's fear. When their lies fail and they have no more arguments left in their arsenal, they call you a homophobe, an Islamophobe. Why do they revert to name-calling? Because they are alethophobes. You say, what's an alethophobe? It's a term I've come up with. This isn't the first time I've used it. Aletheia is the word in Greek for true, truth. Phobia, fear. They fear the truth. Alethephobes. John uses that word aletheia 3 times more than any of the other gospel writers combined. Matthew, Mark, and Luke use the term aletheia, but John uses it 3 times as much as they do. That's logical when you understand the purpose of why he is writing this gospel. Why is he writing this gospel? Do you remember the key verses of the book of John? John 20, verses 30 and 31. Go with me there. Why does John keep hitting upon truth? John 20, verse 30, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Jesus uses the word for believe almost 3 times as the other gospel writers combined. John is saying, this is the truth. Let's conduct a little exercise here. Are your fingers nimble? John chapter 1. We're going to go through John very quickly. Look at John 1:14. And I want you to get involved this morning by when I stop, you say the next word if I pause for any length of time. "And the Word was made flesh," John 1:14, "and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and..." Go to verse 17. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and came by Jesus Christ." Chapter 3, verse 21. "But he that doeth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought of God." Chapter 4 and verse 23. "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in... For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in..." It's in truth. 5:33. "Ye send unto John, and he bear witness unto the..." John chapter 8 and verse 32. And by the way, it's in this chapter where John uses the word truth more than any other time. You see it in verse 32 where he says, "And ye shall know the..." And the truth shall make you free. Look at verse 40. Again, verse 44. Again, verse 45. Again, verse 46. You probably know John 14:6. "I am the way, the..." "And the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." But go to John 14 and not only note verse 6, but note verse 17. "Even the Spirit of..." He is speaking of the Holy Spirit. Go to John chapter 15 and verse 26. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of..." Yeah, "He proceedeth from the Father. He shall testify of me." John chapter 16, verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the..." And he keeps talking about the truth. Look at verse 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of..." You get the idea that the Holy Spirit is truth, because Jesus Christ is truth, because God is truth. They are all one and the same. We're not done yet. Chapter 17 and verse 17. "Sanctify them through thy..." "Thy word is..." Is this a futile exercise? Chapter 17, verse 19. "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the..." And now Jesus in chapter 18 is standing before Pilate. Pilate is ready to condemn him. And it says in chapter 18 and verse 37, "Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king? Then Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the..." "Everyone that is of the..." "Heareth my voice." Whoa! "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And now the unbelievable words of Pilate. What is... And truth is staring him in the face. He has truth crucified. I have many more passages. If you got the notes from the back table, you have the other passages. that I was intending to go through this morning to talk about the truth. Paul before Festus in Acts 26:25, Romans 1:25, where the Bible says they exchanged the truth for a lie. And it's speaking there, the reference, the passage, the context is speaking about sexual perverts. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. 1 Corinthians 13:6 says that true love rejoices in truth. It is not immoral. It talks about our salvation in Ephesians 1:13, our lifestyle in Ephesians 4:24 and 25, where the Bible says, cease your lying, quit your lying. Talks about the spirit and person of Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians 2, 10-13. Those who were not believers of the truth, God shall send them a delusion that they will believe the lie because they would not accept the truth. We see God's desire in 1 Timothy 2:4. And the description of the last days in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. In fact, I'd like, since we skipped all the others, let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 3, excuse me. Verse 1 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy says, talking about the last days, and you get to verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And you get that down in chapter 4 and you look at verses 3 and 4. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears. They shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. People believe the most ridiculous things today. Why? Because they are truth rejectors. They hate it. They are alethaphobes. They fear it. And 1 John 5, verses 1 through 3, talks about a right relationship with Jesus Christ will be demonstrated by a right relationship with His Word. How do you know if God is your Father? You love His Son, Jesus Christ. And how do you know you love Jesus Christ? Because you say so? No. You keep His commandments. John 14:21, He that loveth me keepeth my commandments. No man can love Jesus Christ if he does not love His Word. Jesus Christ, as the one sent by God the Father, delivers the Father's message. Those who are truly the children of God will recognize the message on Jesus' lips is the message of God Almighty. Because they're one and the same. Now, the listeners to Jesus were constantly misunderstanding, misinterpreting, and stumbling at His speech. He spoke of bread in John 6:35, and they thought He meant literal bread. He spoke of freedom here in John 8:32, and they thought He meant temporal and political freedom. He spoke of their father in John 8:38, and they thought He meant Abraham. Constantly misinterpreting, misunderstanding, stumbling over His speech. Why? They cannot hear. And it is possible for someone to get to that point. It is same with those who listen to the gospel today. They can be as dead in their sin as anyone could imagine, but the application to them goes right over their head. I've seen it from the pulpit. I know a person is unsaved under the sound of my voice, and you preach, and the truth goes right over their head. They can't hear it. You can preach the truth and say, and they will say how good of a sermon it was when they walk out. And I'm thinking, I'm clenching this pulpit right now. Why didn't they get it? Why didn't you understand what I was preaching? Even because you cannot hear His Word. Who is your spiritual father? It is not God the Father if you do not love whom He has sent. And He has sent Jesus Christ, His Word. You cannot be a Bible rejecter and say you are a child of God, that God is your Father. You cannot. Are you hearing His word? Are you hearing it? I'm not asking if you can hear my voice. I know you hear my voice. Are you hearing it? May you honestly be able to say that you daily have the attitude of little Samuel. Speak, Lord, for thy servant.